Alright, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin with a beautiful, beautiful daf of Gemara. Let's pick up last two lines, Zayin Amud Beis. So remember again, we were 7b, two lines over the bottom. So remember again, the Gemara was talking about the idea about whether or not Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbanim, are taxed. Do they have to go ahead and pay a tax, or do they have to contribute towards the tax of the city? So the Gemara Dashin, so we had one interpretation as to why they shouldn't, because again, their Meisim Tovim, their good deeds, protect them just like the sand protects against the water. So last two lines, he also the Kamei Rabbi Yochanan, so when he came before Rabbi Yochanan, Amrli, my time alo te mala meha, why don't you go ahead and bring it from here? Now, Bosei quotes over here from the beautiful Pasuk, ultimately, again, from Shiashirim, Ani Choma, I am like a wall, v'shaddai kamigdalos, and the shaddaim, the breasts of the woman, are like migdalos, are like towers. Now, we'll say, now remember, Shiashirim is a metaphor, and much of the metaphor that Shlomo HaMelech brings for Klal Yisrael is like a woman. So what does this mean? Ani Choma, I am like a wall, zu Torah. This refers to Torah. Torah is like the wall. Obviously, the meaning of Torah for the wall is going to be as a source of protection. Vishadai kamigdalos. What does that mean? The shadayim are like towers. Top of chesamad aleph. Elu tamidei chachamim. So, amazingly enough, this refers to Torah scholars. Now, why does the shadayim refer to Torah scholars? So, actually, if you look on the end of the previous page, in the margin, there is a parish of Rabbeinu Gershom. So if you look over here, four lines up from the bottom, he says, V'shadai kamigdalos elu tamidei chachamim, shalomdim ze mize kitinok yonek mishtei imo. That just like the child eagerly nurses from the mother, so too the tamidei chachamim eagerly nurse from one another. Eagerly nurse to draw out the Torah from one another. Tap of chesamad aleph. V'yish lakish savrla, V'yish lakish says, he had a different interpretation. Kididarish rava, ani choma, what does it mean, I am like a wall? Zukineses Yisrael, this refers to Klal Yisrael. Vishadai kamigdalos, what does it mean, the shadayim are like towers? Elu bati knesios ubati midrashos. So we'll say, so beautiful. This refers ultimately again to the shuls, to the bati midrash, which again we know even halachically are supposed to be of the highest structures in the city. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, Rama Karga Rabbanan. So we'll say, Rav Chista imposed the karga. We'll say karga is a head tax upon the rabbis. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Avarta Adoraisa, Adinevi, Adiksuvi. So listen to this, so comes along Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says to him, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista is one who imposed the head tax, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says to him, you have violated the words of the Torah, the words of the Nevi'im, and the words of the Ksuvim. How so? Ad da'oraisa d'chsev, because what is that? What's the pasuk? Af choveiv amim kol kidoshav biyadecha. The way we translate this pasuk over here is af choveiv amim, even though he loves the nations, kol kidoshav biyadecha. All who are holy to him are in his hands. Now, what does this mean? Amar Moshe etnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said before the Ribbono Shel Olam, afilo b'sha sha'ata mechaveiv amim, kol kidoshav yu biyadecha. Ribbono Shel Olam, promise me that even when you love all the nations, it was a very important yisod. You know, Klal Yisrael, we have not cornered the market on God. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the God of all humanity, and he loves all humanity. What Moshe Rabbeinu asks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that even as you love all of the nations, promise me, kol kidoshav yu biyadecha, all those who are holy to you will be in your hands. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kol kidoshav, third line down from the top in Rashi, shel Yisrael biyadecha him mishomram. So according to Rashi, the way he understands kol kidoshav biyadecha means Ribbono Shel Olam, afford a particular shmira, a particular protection for kiddushav, for those who are holiest to you. Which I will say, the Gemara's understanding to mean refers to the Rabbanan, refers to the Talmidei Chachamim, so that the Talmidei Chachamim have a special shmira, a special guarding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Veheim to kul raglecha, they will sit by your feet. Tani Rav Yosef, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim, Shemekasesim raglehem mi'ir le'ir, umi medina le'medina, Lilmot Torah. This refers to the Talmidei Chachamim who literally stamped their feet in going from city to city, country to country, to go ahead and learn Torah. Yisa midabro secha, right? To go ahead and take from your teachings. Lisa velitin kedibrosov shamakum. To go ahead and exchange words. Lisa velitin means to give it back and forth with your teachings. So we'll say, so again, from this pasuk, what do you see? From this pasuk, you see that tamidi chachamim are afforded a special shmira. Right, they're given a special divine protection. So because they're given a divine protection, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is saying to Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, you acted inappropriately in assessing them for the head tax. Because the purpose of the head tax is to give all the residents of the city protection. Tamidi Chachamim don't need ordinary protection. They have divine protection. Adin Vi, you violated the Pasuk from the Vim, household Dechsiv. Gam Ki Yitnu Bagoyim. Ato akabzeim v'yichalu me'at mimasa melech v'sarim. So I will say, the Gemara here is talking about from Hosea. So the Gemara is talking about the following. Gam ki yitnu bagoyim, even though you have good relationships with the Gentile nations, ato akabzeim, I will now gather you, v'yichalu me'at mimasa melech v'sarim. And literally the burden of the king and the ministers will be lessened upon you. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vaychalu ma'at, Rashi says, Va'af imoatim hein, hashonim ba'amim, yachalu mimasa melech v'sarim, yubetelu milases masa melech v'sarim. So what the Pasuk seems to be describing over here is that there will be those who need not shoulder the burden of the king as greatly as the others. Who does this refer to? Va'amru ula, Pasuk zeh b'loshon aramis ne'emar. This Pasuk ultimately, again, could be greater understood in loshon aramis. How so? Itanu kulhu, ata akabtzeim, ve'imma'at mehem, yachalu mimasa melech sarim. So what it says is the following. Itanu kulhu, if all of Klal Yisrael learns Torah, then ata akabtzeim, then I will redeem them all at once. Ve'im ma'at mehem, but if only some of them learn Torah, a reference to the idea, a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, a reference ultimately again to the Rabbanon, then yechalu mima'asa melech v'sarim. Then ultimately again, I will lessen from them the burden of the melech and the sarim. The idea, what Rav Osai, the idea ultimately that Talmidei Chachamim are lessened from the or have a lessened responsibility from the taxes of the king. All of this is trying to paint the same picture that Talmidei Chachamim are given a special level of shmira, a special level of protection, ultimately from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bottom line being, therefore, the head tax should not be assessed against them. Next, Adiksuvi. What's the pasuk from Ksuvim? Diksiv quotes over here from the pasuk from Ezra. Minda below. V'halach lo shalit l'mirma aleihem. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, mim dabalo v'halach dar yovesh siva es pasach avar hanar al anshe kineses hagidola. So we'll say, dar yovesh, Darius, went ahead and commanded that certain amounts of the head tax be lessened upon the Talmidei Chachamim. V'am Rav Yehuda, minda zuminas hamelech. This minda, this refers to the charge, or this refers to the tax of the king. Below zukesef kulgalta, below refers to a head tax. V'halach zu arnona, and I will say halach refers ultimately to arnona, which is a produce tax. So what do you see from here? You see again that the Talmidei Chachamim are exempt from a lot of these taxes. So I will say, so bottom line, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was saying to Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, you acted inappropriately in assessing the taxes against the Rabbanim. Fine. La Papa Ramya Karya Charta Ayasmi. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav Papa went ahead and assessed Karya Charta. Rashi says, Yitzias Kriyas Be'er Mayim Chayim Lishtos. So apparently they were digging a well, and the way it works with the well, as we will see, is that all of the city inhabitants have to go ahead and pay towards the well. So Rav Papa assessed the expenses of well digging even upon Yisomim. Now, Bosana, under normal circumstances, Amarli Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Rav Papa, V'dilma lo midvo. So Bosana, remember, we are very careful in general about what level of expenses we assess against Yisomim. Generally, we do not collect from orphans. So comes along Rav Shish Rav Rav Edi and says to Rav Papa, but maybe you're not going to find water. In other words, maybe you're going to dig for this well, have all of these expenses, but you're not going to come up with water. Amalei Mishkil Shakin Lominayo. Listen, I'm going to collect the money from them. E Midvil Midvil. If we find water, then great. Ve'ilo, but if we don't find water, Mahadarna La Nehilayu. I will return the money back to the Yisomim. Amalei Yehuda. Hakol Le'igle Gafo. Afilu miyasmi. So Bosei said, the halacha is, Rabbi Yehuda says, everyone has to pay la'agle gapa. Rashi says, l'shari chomo sa'ir, la'hatziv bohem delasos. Everyone has to pay in order to put up walls by the city. Right? Everyone has to pay literally to put up doors by the walls. Everyone has to pay. About Rabbanan, however, again, but by the Rabbanan lo tzrichi t'rusa. But the Rabbanan do not have to pay to the walls. Why? Because the Rabbanan do not need the protection of the walls. They have the protection of the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay? Hakol lekari apasya afilu mirabbanan. We'll say everyone has to pay towards well excavations. So, like water wells. Everyone has to pay towards water wells. Rashi says, lebari apasya chafiras bar lishtos mayim. Everyone has to pay towards the excavation of wells. Because we'll say even the Rabbanan have to drink. We'll say, we actually saw this before. See, there are different ways in which townspeople would go ahead and dig wells. So we'll say, so sometimes what would end up happening is they would pay. Tovi, there's a seat. So sometimes what would happen is they would go ahead and they would pay for people to come, like they would outsource it, right? They would pay for contractors to come and dig the well. And other times what they would do is the townspeople would take shifts themselves going ahead and digging the wells. So the Gemara says, when do we assess the expense of the well against the Rabbanan? That's when we're outsourcing it. Everyone's got to pay their share. But Aval nafki ba'achluza, Rav said, if the way it was working with how is that all the townspeople were taking shifts, actually working and digging the wells, in that case, Rabbanon lav b'nei mefak ba'achluza ninu. It's not appropriate for the Rabbanon to be doing manual labor, and therefore, again, they are exempt ultimately from that responsibility of going ahead and digging the well. Rashi says, "Telo nafki bachluza she'en hin atzman yotzin bachraza lachbar." They are not obligated to go ahead and participate in the manual labor. Ela sochrim polim. The only time they're obligated to participate is if the city is hiring workers. Okay, we'll say. So this is now an amazing maysa. Rebbe pasach otzros b'sheni b'tzuras. So we'll say, Rebbe opened up the storehouses during years of famine. So there was a regional family, opened up the storehouses. Amar, and he said, Yikansu Baalei Mikra, Baalei Mishnah, Baalei Gemara, Baalei Halacha, Baalei Haggadah. Who is permitted to take food? Anyone who is learned. Anyone who is learned. Now I will say, now you could take, now it's okay, whatever you're learning is absolutely fine. Whether you learned Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, Haggadah, Aval Ame Haaretz Al Yikansu. But ignorant people may not come in to take food. Now, we'll say, now this is a very, very dramatic stance. We will see why Rebbe took such a posture. We will see ultimately again why he took this posture. So we'll say, watch this, Maisa. Dochak Rebbe Yonasan ben Amram v'nichnas. So we'll say, Rebbe Yonasan ben Amram pushed his way in. Amram, we'll say, now the underlying part of this story is he disguised himself. Rebbe Yonasan ben Amram disguises himself as an Amoret. So his Rebbe does not recognize him. Amrlo Rebbe Parnasani. He says, Rebbe, support me. Right, Rebbe, go ahead, please, give me food. Amrlo Bini Karis said, my son, do you learn Chumash? Amrlo Lav. He said, no. Shanis, did you learn Mishnah? Amrlo Lav, no. Im Kein B'maya Farnasecha. So Rebbe says, if that's the case, then how can I go ahead and support you? Amrlo Parnasini Kekelev Ukeorev. Rebbe, should you not support me at least like a dog or like a raven? In other words, that there's an obligation to go ahead and, if there's an obligation to even feed animals, then what? Then certainly it goes without saying that you should feed me as well. Buster dinafik. So we'll say, so what happens? So Rebbe's moved by this Ama Aretz's words. Rebbe's moved by his words. And ultimately, again, he gives him food. Basar Dinafik Yosef Rebbe Vikamitzdayer. After this man left, and again remember, Rebbe did not know that it was his Talmud, Rebbe Yonasan ben Amram. After he left, Yosef Rebbe Vikamitzdayer. Va'amar Oili Shenasati Piti La'am Ha'aretz. Woe to me that I gave my bread to an Am Ha'aretz. Amar Lefan the Rebbe Shimon Barebi, Shema Yonasan ben Amram Talmidchahu, She'ina Rotze Lahanus Mikava Torah, Miyamav. So what happens? Rebbe Shimon Barebi says, is it possible that that pauper was in fact your son, Yonasan ben Amram, who again disguised himself as a regular guy in order not to benefit from his Torah? In other words, that he shouldn't get any preferential treatment because of his Torah. Va'ashkach amar Rebbe Yekam, excuse me, Batku va'ashkach. So what happened? Batku va'ashkach. Indeed, they investigated the matter and it turned out that this was correct. And indeed, it was Yonasan, Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, who had disguised himself. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, Yikan suako. So we'll say, Rabbi at the end of the day realized that his approach was wrong. He realized at the end of the day that his approach was wrong, and he should not limit his support just to Talmidei Chacham. Now, when we see Talmidei Chacham, it's not really Talmidei Chacham. What Rebbe was saying was that in order to be entitled to food, you should at least be someone who learns. You don't have to be the Gadol Hador, you don't have to be the greatest tzaddik, you don't have to know Kol HaTorah Kula, but at least you should be learning some Chumash, some Mishnah, some Halacha, some Agada, something. But then, amazingly enough, Rebbe has a change of heart. Why does he have this change of heart? So the Marsha points out, he has this change of heart because he's very moved by the words of his Talmud. If at the end of the day, I would give food to a stray dog. If at the end of the day, there's a din of Rachmanis, even on an animal. So then it goes without saying that there has to be Rachmanis on what? On every single human being as well. Whether they're learned or whether they're not learned. Now we'll see what Rebbe's Havamina was. Why would Rebbe even have a Havamina not to give food to Ami Haaretz? So we'll discuss. Rebbe the Tame, which Gemara says, we'll say, Ches Amud Aleph 8a, third wide line. Not the widest lines, but third wide line. So Rebbe the Tame, Rebbe goes according to his reasoning. Dama Rebbe, Ein Paranos Bali Olam Ela Bishvil Ami Haaretz. But it's a very dramatic statement that Paranos, punishment only comes to this world because of Ami Haaretz. I will say, what does it mean, Ami Haaretz? So ignorant people cause all misfortune in this world. What it's saying is like this. So I will say, you know, there are two different types of ignorant people. So there are ignorant people, mamush, just because they have no opportunities to learn for whatever the reason of their circumstances. And then there are other people who live life with the mantra of ignorance is bliss. They're ignorant by choice. Why are they ignorant by choice? Because let's be honest, life is a lot easier if you just don't know a lot of stuff, right? Then if I'm doing something wrong, oh, I didn't know. Or if there's something I really want to do, but it's really usher, oh, I didn't know. So Rebbe's saying that misfortune falls into the world for people who engage in negative activity and should have known better. We'll say, you know, this is the Gemara Maseches Makkos, which Emir Tashem B'Shal Tavu will get to one day. So we'll see again. The Gemara... Correct. We're going to get to it. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara Makkos says that when talking about the individual who kills accidentally, so the Gemara says, aye, but it's an accident. Aye, but it's an accident. To which the Gemara gives lashon of dei baile the iune. You should have looked harder. Should have been more careful. Both say, it's an incredible yisod in life. You can only claim ignorance up until a certain point in time, but at some point in time, I'm chayiv ultimately again to learn, I'm chayiv to know. So therefore, Rebbe felt that all misfortune that occurs in the world occurs because of Ami Haaretz. People who could have known, should have known, but chose not to know and therefore transgressed. Kiahu demei kalila, deshadat veris. He tells a story over here that one time, the Caesar imposed, or the emperor imposed, an obligation upon the people of Tveri. He wanted a new crown. And he imposed the tax upon the people of Tveria to pay for that crown. So they came before Rebbe. And they said to Rebbe, listen, this is a tax upon all the residents of Tveria. The rabbis have to share in this responsibility as well. The rabbis have to pay their share for the crown. So Amr Lehu, lo. To which Rebbe responded, No, the Rabbanon are not going to pay a share in this. Now, you'll see why Rebbe took this pasture in just a moment. So, Amarle, Arkunin, so the people said, fine, well, if that's the case, we're going to run away from Tveria, and we're going to leave you holding the entire bill. Amarle, Aroku, this is fine, run away. So, Arku Palgeon. So half of the residents of Tveria ran away. So what happened? In that moment when they ran away, Talyuha Palga, the Caesar released them from half of the responsibility for the crown. So half of the residents ran away, and he were released for half of the responsibility for the crown. Asu Hanal Palga, the remaining residents of Tveria came before Rabbi, Kamei the Rabbi, Amar Lei, Leisu Rabbana Bahadon. The rabbis have to share with us in the financial responsibility for paying for the crown. Amar Lehu, Lo, to which Rabbi said, no, the Rabbanon are not going to pay for this. Aruknin Aroku. So what happens? Aroknin. So they say, fine, we're going to run away. So Aroku. So Rabbi says, fine, run away. Whereas Rabbi says, you're not going to threaten me. Run away if you have to. Arkokulu. So we'll say, at this point in time, there is no one in the city of Tveria. Everyone had run away. Pash Hahu Koves. One guy, launderer. Laundry. Now, by the way, this is not like a metaphor. He actually was just a launderer, right? Meaning he went ahead and he laundered clothing. So what happens? Shaju Akoves. The Caesar imposed the entire responsibility for the crown upon this launderer. Arak Koves, the launderer ran away. Paka Kalila. And ultimately, again, the Caesar released the city of Tveria from the responsibility for the crown. I will say, what was the point over here? The point that Rebbe was trying to make is that these type of negative decrees come about because of Ani Haaretz. It's not the Rabbi, meaning, what do you see from this? How did he see that? Because as soon as the Ami Haaretz ran away, ultimately the responsibility dissipated. Had ultimately the responsibility been that of the Rabbanon, then Caesar would have imposed that responsibility upon the Rabbanon as well. Amarle, Re'isem She'in Paranos Bali Olam. You see from here that what? That punishment only, or misfortune only befalls the world. Ella b'shvil Ami Haaretz. Therefore, misfortune only befalls the world only because of Ami Haaretz. And I both say, this, now again, this was the maisa that occurred to Rebbe. So because this was the maisa that occurred to Rebbe, this informed his worldview. That's why in years of famine, where there was limited resources, he felt that resources first do not go to Ami Haaretz. They only go to Ami Haaretz after the Tamidi Chachamim are ultimately taken care of. Now again, he took this approach initially. He saw he was wrong in this approach. He was given veiled Musar, but not even such veiled Musar, by his Talmud, Yorosan ben Amram, who essentially said, how can you show compassion for animals and not for your fellow Jew? But Rebbe realized he was mistaken, but at least the Gemara gives us insight as to why he had formulated his initial view. Says the Gemara, v'kam yehei ba'ir v'yekan shir. So now we're going to get into some very interesting halachos. So remember again, the Mishnah told us that every resident of the city has to participate in the expenses of the city, whether that's walls or whatever else. So the Gemara said, Mishnah said, how long does one have to live in a city in order to be treated like a resident of the city? So remember again, what did the Gemara say? What did the Mishnah say? 12 months, 1 year. After you live in a city for 1 year, you are an official resident of a city and you are responsible to participate in all city expenses. Of course, the exception to that rule was what? If you buy a home. Right? Once you buy a home, then by definition you're settled. Says the Gemara, or Minhi, Simari Zekasha, Hachameres Vagamela Salversi Makom Lamakom, Falana Besocha. Supposed to listen to this case. If you had camel drivers or donkey drivers, meaning caravans of donkeys or camels, who were going from place to place, Falana Besocha, and they came to a particular city and they stayed in that city, the Hudcha Imahin. The Bosa Hudcha Imahin literally means they were enticed to worship Avodah Zarah with the residents of that city. Hein biskila umamon an pach. So we'll say, let's back up for a second. We're talking about over here are the laws of Ir HaNidachas. The laws of Ir HaNidachas is if you have a city where all of the inhabitants have worshipped Avodah Zarah, so what's the halacha? The city is, meaning the inhabitants are killed, and all of the property is destroyed. Now, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. Let's say you had people who were traveling from place to place. In this case, it's the donkey or the camel caravan. They came into a particular city, and they were lured into worshipping Avodah Zarah with the residents of the city. But, what's the chap over here? They are not residents of that city. So what's the halacha? Hein b'skila. So these individuals, the travelers, are executed with skila. Who will say, skila is the punishment for an individual who worships Avodah Zarah. Umamon on palat. But their money, meaning their possessions, are not destroyed. Which is another way of saying what? they're not considered to be residents of the city for Ir HaNidachas purposes. But if they were in the city for 30 days, then what? They're executed by the sword. Umamonon avad, and their money is lost. Which Shabbos says is another way of saying that's the punishment for Ir HaNidachas. The punishment for Ir HaNidachas is the residents are killed with the sword, and their money, their possessions are burned. So what do you see from here? That once you're in a city for 30 days, you become like a resident. That contradicts the Mishnah. Amar Rav Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Both said there are different designations. Quite interesting. Ha libnei masa, ha liyesuve masa. Both said there are different designations. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, first we'll say, libnei masa, both said means a citizen. One is talking about a citizen of the city, one is a resident. Both said you only become a citizen after 12 months. You become a resident, says the Gemara, after 30 days. And what we're going to see is that for different things, different designations are important. So for example, to be included in Ir HaNidachas, you don't have to be a citizen. You just have to be a resident. Residency is established after 30 days. Therefore, if you're there 30 days, you worship Avodah Zarah with the inhabitants of the city. You are treated like a resident of the city, killed with Saif, all of your possessions burned. But what we're going to see for taxes, or at least for most taxes, you have to be a resident, and residency is only established after 12 months. Kiddush Sanya. As we learned, Hamodra Haname An Shehair. If you go ahead and you make a neder, I'm not going to get benefit from the people of this city. Be An Shehair. So Koshin Ishtah Sham Shneim Asar Chodesh Asar Lihanos Mimenu. So both say the lashon of An Shehair pretty much refers to the citizens of the city. So if I take a neder, I'm not getting any benefit from the citizens of this city. Who does that apply to? That applies to anyone who has lived in the city for more than 12 months. Bachos mikan, mutter. But anyone who's been living in the city for less than 12 months and therefore is not a citizen, I can get benefit from it. On the other hand, we'll say first of the widest lines. On the other hand, if I say, meyoshne hayir, if I say I'm not going to get any hanah from anyone who dwells in the city, then what? Kol shneishtashem shloshim yom asher lihanos yimenu, bachos mikan mutter. So we'll say, so again, then that prohibition will apply to anyone who's lived in the city for more than 30 days, but less than 30 days, the neder does not apply to that individual. So we'll say, is that true? That for every matter, in order to become a citizen, I have to live in the city for 12 months. Vatanya. But we'll say, now we're going to get into some really fascinating discussions about tzedakah, and about tzedakah obligations upon residents of the city. Vatanya, listen to this. Shloshim yom letamchui. We'll say, we are going to see that in organized kehilos, they had different types of tzedakos. So we'll say, so after, now we'll read this price, and then we'll dissect it. After 30, meaning if you lived in a city for 30 days or more, tamchui. We'll say, you have to contribute. Now tamchui is the soup kitchen. And we'll say, now here's amazing. How did they collect for the soup kitchen? Remember, the soup kitchen was kishmo kenu, to give people food every day. It's amazing. How would they contribute to the soup kitchen? The gabai tamchui would go house to house, collecting prepared food. Because before, we don't say, can you imagine this meaning? Once upon a time, people ate from each other without shilas, right? They lived in a city, they ate from each other without shilas. So the Gabbai Tamchoi would go house to house collecting prepared food. When do you have to contribute for the Tamchoi? After 30 days. All right, Shloshim Yom. So sorry, Shloshim Chadashim L'Kupa. Rabbos say, once you've lived in a city for 30 days, you have to contribute to the Kupa. Rabbos say, Kupa was what we'll call the weekly tzedakah fund. Monies were distributed each week for that week. That's the Kupa. Liksus Tisha. Rabbos say, there was also like a clothing tzedakah. Right, the clothing, not a gemach, but collecting money for clothing. So Rabbos say, you had to contribute to that after you were living in the city for 9 months. Likvura Shneimasar. They had like a Jewish welfare fund that to provide for the burial expenses of aniyim. So you had to contribute to that fund once you were living in the city for 12 months. Lepasei ha'ir, for the boards of the city, which is another way of saying ultimately again. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. That for once you were in 12 months, you had to contribute ultimately again to the, I'm sorry, it was Tisha Lekvura, I'm sorry. Shisha Leksus, Tisha l'kvura shteim asar l'pasi. So we'll say 6 months you have to contribute to the clothing fund, 9 months you have to contribute to the burial fund, and 12 months you have to contribute to the security fund. But Shabbos say, by the way, it's also an incredible yisod in terms of fundraising. The way they used to operate in communal funds is they did not wait for a need to arise to raise funds. What happens is this was anticipatory fundraising. There was a recognition these needs will arise. Of course they will arise. There'll be aniyim who need food, there'll be aniyim who need burial expenses, and again, the city will need security. Tax now so that when the needs arise, you don't have to scramble to be able to accumulate the funds. An incredible yisod. I'm Rav Asi. Shabbos says, so what do you see from here? You see from here that there are many responsibilities levied upon the residents way before 12 months. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Ki tnan nami masnishin shnei masar chodesh. You're right. When our Mishnah Rabbosai talks about 12 months, that 12 months was for what? That 12 months was for Pasea Irtanan. That 12 months, Rabbosai, was for the walls of the city. Fine. Amr Abasi Amr Yochanan. Hakola Pasea, Ervafil Miasi. Rabbosai, everybody has to contribute to the walls of the city, even Yisomim. Right? Even orphans have to contribute to the walls of the city. Avar Rabbanan, though, Rabbosai, the Rabbanan don't have to contribute to the walls of the city. Why? Lotzvichi Nitirusa. Rabbosai, same thing we've seen over and over. Because the Tamidei Chacham and the Rabbanan do not need the protection of the walls. They have the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar HaPapa, Leshura Uleparsha Uletarzina Afilu Miasi. So we'll say, so what are these? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Leshura, the Tikkun HaChoma, for fixing the wall. Leparsha, Rashi says, Parasha Olech Svivos Le'ir Leshomra. So we'll say, this is like a city watchman who rides on horseback throughout the city to watch over the city. And Tarzina, Rashi says, is the watchman by the entranceway of the city who also watches over the weapons cache. It's interesting enough, apparently every city also had a weapons cache, also had like a weapons room. So in the event that the city was attacked, the residents of the city would be able to go ahead and watch it. Everyone has to contribute towards these necessities. Va'afilu miyasmi. Even the Yisomim, Avar Rabbanan lo tzrichi nitirusa. But the Rabbanan don't have to contribute to this. Why? Because the Rabbanan do not need this Shmira. Klal de milsa, kol milsa de islihu anah minei, afilu miyasmi. And what's a general klal is, anything from which the city residents derive benefit, even Yisomim have to contribute. Rava Rama Tzedakah Yasmi de Beimar Marion. Rava assessed a tzedakah obligation upon the Yisomim of the house of Bar Merion. But 1 second, we learned that you do not assess tzedakah obligations upon Yisomim, afil lepiyon shvuyim, even for redemption of captives. So this is actually very interesting. I did this as an honor to their father. I will say, how so? This is actually quite amazing, because what he's saying is, it is a covet for this family to participate in tzedakah initiatives. So I assess this not as a chov upon them, but as a way of maintaining familial honor. So Ifra Hormiz, Imei Deshavar Malka, Shadra Arnaka, Didinar Lekamei Rav Yosef, Amra, Lehavi Lemitzah Rabba. So we'll say Ifra Hormiz, who was the mother of King Shapur, sent a pouch of golden coins to Rav Yosef, and she said to Rav Yosef, use this for a great mitzvah. Yasser Yosef Kam Ayin Ba, Mai Mitzvah Rabba. Rav Yosef said, well, what does she mean by that, right? What is she referring to when she says mitzvah rabba? Amr le Abaye mit tenor shomer Yehuda in poskin tzedakah yisom afilu lepidyon shvuyim. So also the fact that we said before, we do not assess tzedakah upon yisomim, even for pidyon shvuyim. We'll say now, when it says even for pidyon shvuyim, what does that sound like? It sounds like pidyon shvuyim is like the halig of halig, right? Meaning it's the holy of holies. So even that, Shema Mina, what do we see from here? Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbi. I'll say Chesam and Beis top line. What do you see from here? You see from here that redemption of captives is in fact considered to be a great mitzvah. Amen. Amrali Rava, the Rabba Bar Mori. So Rabbi said to Rabbi Amari, Mino ha-mils adam Rabbanon, the Pidyon Shvuyim is Rabbi. Rabbi said, how do we know that Pidyon Shvuyim, redemption of captives, is considered to be a great mitzvah? Dam Rabbanon, so with the Gemara, Amar Leitich Siv, so we'll say, quotes over here, the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Vahaya, and we'll say, now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Yirmiyahu Hanavi, and he says, Vahaya, ki yomru eilecha, ana neitze. We'll say, so he says, so Yirmiyahu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu the following, Vahaya, it will be, Ki omru alecha Ananetze, what is going to happen to us? So remember, Yirmiyahu HaNavi has the incredible difficult task of being the Navi of the Churban, the Navi of gloom. So when Klal Yisrael realizes that destruction is going to come, and they're going to ask you, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, they're going to ask you, Ananetze, what's going to happen to us? Va'amar Talem, you will say to them, Ko Amar Hashem, Asher Lamos Lamos, those who will be killed will be killed. Basha lecherav lecherav, those who will find the sword. Basha lerav lerav, those who will find famine will find famine. Basha leshvi leshvi, and those who will be taken captive will be taken captive. Rabbosai, so this says, Rabbi Amram Yochanan, kala mu'ucher repasek zekasha mechavero. Rabbosai, this pasek is going in order of least severe to most severe. How so? Cherev kasha mimaves. So Rabbosai, dying by the sword is more difficult than natural death. We can prove this from a pasuk, or we can prove this ultimately from svara. If you want to say it's a svara, high kamenava v'high low kamenava. Rabbi say when a person dies by sword, the body is disfigured. Masha'inke, when a person dies a natural death, the body is not disfigured. The other possibility, ultimately, again, it's a pasuk. Yakar bein Hashem hamaf solachasidov. It is precious in the eyes of God. Literally the death of his righteous ones. But I will say, Maves in this context means a natural death. So you see from here that dying naturally is of course less traumatic than death by the sword. Ra'av kasha mecharev. I will say, and this is amazing, famine is worse than dying by sword. How so? E ba'yisim asvara. If you want to say this, sorry, I will say this, just again a logic. What's the logic? High kamitztayr, v'hai lo kamitztayr. So when a person dies by sword, the assumption is it's a quick death. Masha enkein, if they die by famine, it's a slow death. You could say it's based on the pasuk. Tovim hayu chaloli cherev mechaloli ra'av. Ultimately, better are those who died by the sword than those who died by famine. Shvi kasha mekulam. It looks like being taken captive is worse than all of these. Why? Dekulu isnuhu bey. Because Rabbi Yossi, remember, when taken captive, a person is mamish at the mercy of their captor. And there is no telling what the captor is going to do for them. Therefore, there are elements of all of these things, including captivity. Why does the Gemara say this? Now you understand why pidyon shvuyim, redemption of captives, is what we call a mitzvah gidol. Such an important mitzvah. Why? Because a person who is in captivity literally lives with the fright of all of these horrific realities hanging over their head. Of cherev, of maves, of ra'av. Therefore, redeeming them and extricating them from those circumstances is indeed considered to be a mitzvah gidola. Tan Rabban, we'll say so again, still continuing with the halachos of tzedakah. Kupa shel tzedakah, we'll say this is actually really fascinating. Kupa shel tzedakah. So let's remember again, what's the kupa? The kupa is the charity fund where funds are distributed once a week for that week. So they were distributing this literally, the Lashonas will see, Me'erev Shabbos, La'erev Shabbos. It was a weekly distribution. So what happens? What does the Gemara say? Nigvis b'shnayim. Both say, you can only collect money for the kupa with two people. U'mischalekes b'shlosha. And money can only be dispersed with three people. Nigvis b'shnayim. So both say, it can only be collected with two people. She'ein osin sraros ala tzibor pachos mishtayim. We'll say, as we're going to see, we're going to define this term, because you cannot do matters of srara. We'll say, srara literally means authority. You cannot engage in authoritative matters upon the kehillah with less than two people. We'll define what that means. U'mischalekes b'shlosha, the monies are only dispersed with three people. Why? Kedine mamanis. Because Rabbi said distribution of tzedakah is almost like monetary law. And just like monetary law needs a beis din, so the distribution of tzedakah also needs a beis din. Tamchui, was remember, tamchui is the soup kitchen. So when collecting the food for the soup kitchen, nigves b'shlosha mischalekes b'shlosha. So we'll say that it has to be collected by three people, and it's distributed by three people. Shegvuyu v'chalukashon. Now we'll say the logic behind there is really, as we're going to see, the collection for the tamchui really only needs two people. But since collection and distribution occur on the same day for the tamchui, to keep the process streamlined, we have three for the collection and three for the distribution. Therefore, it doesn't cause extra tircha to have to try to find the third when coordinating the distribution. So the Gemara says, Tamchui b'kol yom, the tamchui is distributed every day. Kupa me Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. The kupa is only distributed once a week from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Tamchui la ni olam. We'll say that this is very interesting. Who now what's fascinating over here about entitlement to communal tzedakah? So who is permitted to take food from the soup kitchen? Aniye olam. We'll say who is aniye olam? Aniye olam means anyone who comes into the city. You need not be a resident of the city to get from the soup kitchen. So whoever comes in is permitted to take. Kupa la niya ha'ir. Rabbo say, communal tzedakah funds are only distributed to residents of the city. Aniya ha'ir. However, the rasho'im b'nei ha'ir, la'asos kupa tamchui. Rabbo say, the b'nei ha'ir, meaning the elders of the city, those who control the communal funds, are permitted to make the kupa into a tamchui. Rabbo say, it's another way of saying what? They are permitted to make communal tzedakah funds available to any ani who asks. Meaning, that's a decision of the city to make communal funds available to non-communal aniim, the tamchui kupa. Well, say, amazingly enough, they can also decide to what? To make the soup kitchen only available to residents of the city. Furthermore, again, they also have the right to take tzedakah funds and to change the use of those funds. Even if it was collected for A, if they choose that now there's a more pressing need of B, they could go ahead and use it for the needs of B. So this is amazing. The Bnei Ha'ir, Bnei Ha'ir really means the consensus of the city, which usually refers to the elders of the city, have right, lahasnos alamidos v'alasharim, means they have the right to go ahead and dictate the size of measures. For example, let's say a sa'ah is X, but they feel that for the benefit of the commerce of the city, we want to change the measurement of a sa'ah to be X plus Y or X minus Y. They have the right to do that for communal commerce. Not only that, they also have the right to regulate workers' wages. Again, obviously, their reach is only limited to their own city, but they have the ability to regulate commerce in the city. Ulahasiya al kitzasan. Rashi says, "Lahasiya al kitzasan liknos esha over al kitzas tivreim lahasiya smidas din Torah." Well, saying here's the real power. The real power is they have the ability to punish. See, the ability to enforce is always based on the ability to punish. So they also have the ability to knas, to penalize anyone who goes against their words. Amar Mar in osin sureros alatzibar pachos mishnah. So remember, we said before that you cannot collect tzedakah with less than two people. Why? Because I will say, you cannot engage in authoritative communal matters with less than two people. Minahanimili, where do we know this from? Amrav Nachman Amrakra, Vehem Yekhu Es Azav. Bosai, this is amazing. This is by the collection of the Mishkan. Vehem Yekhu Es Azav. They will take the gold. What does it mean, they will take the gold? So Bosai, what do you see from here? You see from here that when it comes to matters of collection, which we're defining as Srara, the ability to take money from another, that ability to take money from another is only what? Could only be done with two people. Could only be done with two people. So we'll say that's only now. Again, we're defining Sura authority as the ability to take money from someone. So that can only be done with two. However, ha'himuni mehemen. Rabbi say, you could put one person in charge of something and trust one person to oversee something as long as what? As long as they are not managing the actual collection itself. One time Rebbe appointed two brothers. I will say, two brothers are really like one person, Rashi points out. Why? Because they can't testify against each other. Anytime you can't testify against someone, you're considered like one unit. So Rebbe placed essentially one person in charge of the kupa of tzedakah. Maestra Rusa. So we'll say, what exactly is the srara? What exactly is the authority that is vested in a tzedakah collector? So we'll say, watch this. And here is the real power of organized community. We'll say, when the community levied a tzedakah tax upon the residents, the tzedakah collectors were empowered to seize property if I did not pay my tzedakah obligation, and they could even seize collateral, they could even seize property, even on Erev Shabbos. So what does it mean, even on Erev Shabbos? See, I could say like this, that if Lemaisa, again, let's say the tzedakah collector shows up on Erev Shabbos. So, Bepashas, what am I going to say to him on Erev Shabbos? I'm a bit busy, right? It's not a good time. Can you come back on Matzei Shabbos? Can you come back on Sunday? So the tzedakah collector is empowered to say, no, you owe the money to the kupa, you need to pay up, and if you don't pay up today, I'm taking property. That's the power that the gabbai tzedakah has. They're also, and that's the surara, that's the authority. Ini, is that true? Is that true that he can seize property to you even on Erev Shabbos? I have a haksiv upakarati al kol lochatzav. I will go ahead, Rabbi Osei. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I will visit my judgment upon kol lochatzav. Rabbi Osei, kol lochatzav means all of those who pressure and exploit. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marit Mishmei Dirav v'afilu al gabay tzedakah. Rabbi Osei, this applies even to a gabay tzedakah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to go ahead and exact punishment even from the gabay tzedakah who extorts money. Lo kashya, hada amit, hada lo amit. Rabbi Osei, it depends. If a gabay tzedakah pressures someone who might not have the capacity to give, that is wrong and that is illegal. But if the gabbai tzedakah, if somebody's been assessed, amen means assessed, meaning we know that Reuven could give the money, he's obligated to give the money, the gabbai tzedakah has every right to pressure him and even to seize collateral from him and even on Erev Shabbos. Ki had derava, ach beit l'rav nasan bar'ami, v'shakal minei arba mea zuzei l'tzedakah. I will say, as was the episode with Rava, Rava forced Rav Nasan Bar Ami, and he extracted from him 400 zuz for tzedakah. So we'll say, now the Gemara goes back to Gemara. We'll say, now we're going to come to a very, very beautiful sugya. V'hamaskilim yashiru kizor harakia. We'll say, maskilim means the wise ones. Now, has a different connotation for us now, because, right, of the haskalah, but remember, in its purest etymological form, hamaskilim, literally the wise ones, yashiru kizor harakia. They will shine, literally, like the brightness of the sky. Who does this refer to? Ze dayon shedon din emes lamito. I will say this refers ultimately to a dayon. This refers to a judge who adjudicates his cases correctly. Umitzadiki harabim ki kochavim liolam. And I will say, ultimately, again, the righteous ones are like the stars for all eternity. Elu gabay tzedakah. I will say, so beautiful. This refers to the person who collects tzedakah. And I will say, that job of collecting tzedakah is not always a pleasant one, right? You become that guy that when people see you coming down the road, what happens? Right? They conveniently have to take a phone call in a different direction. So again, somebody who undertakes that responsibility for the community, such a great sukkos. Masni satana v'hamaskilim yashiru kizar rakia zedayon shedan din emes lamita v'gabay tzedaka. So we'll say in another version, the maskilim, the wise ones who shine as the brightness of the heavens, that refers to both the dayon as well as the gabay tzedaka. But so you understand that what's the connection between the dayon and the gabay tzedaka, discussing in a few moments. What's coming down there between both of them? Both say, you understand, we translate tzedakah as charity. But remember, again, tzedakah really is from Lashon Tzedek, which means justice. Both the dayon as well as the gabay tzedakah are both interested in pursuit of charity. Both say, giving tzedakah, it's not charitable. You know, we look at tzedakah as, oh, so nice. Both say, there are two different types of people in this world. There are people who have, and there are people who don't have. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the schos of being a person who has, you don't get a shkoyach for giving. You have a divine mandate to give. That wealth was not given to you to simply enjoy, to say, oh look, I have. That you are custodian for that wealth, to divvy it up and divide it out and meet it out to those who do not. And again, do you get a shkoyach for doing it? Of course you get a shkoyach, because you could have bought a yacht. You know, there's no shiloh. You get a shkoyach for it, but you don't get too big of a shkoyach for it because it's not yours. It's not yours. The same way Rabbi Osei, that the ani is obligated to accept tzedakah, and you can't be a martyr. The person who has is obligated to give the tzedakah, and you don't get a big shkoyach for that also. That's your lot. Some have the lot of takers, some have the lot of givers, and each are exactly the same. That's why the Gemara is grouping the dayon with the gabay tzedakah, because they're in the same business. They're in the business of din. They're in the business of justice. The dayon sits behind the shulchan and he meets out justice. The gabay tzedakah is also the facilitator of justice. How is he the facilitator of justice? He is the one who facilitates the transfer of the funds from the ones who have to the ones who don't. But what's the end with this? Umitzadiki harabim We'll say, who does it refer to? I'm going to say, we'll pick up with this tomorrow. But what does it mean ultimately again? And Mitzadiki Rabbim, the great righteous ones who shine like the stars, Elo Melande Tinokos. Bosei, as you're going to refer, see, this refers to the Rabbeim. This refers to the Moros. This refers to the ones who teach Torah to young children. We'll stop over here for today. Bosei, we'll pick up with this. We're going to start a little bit earlier tomorrow, as we have a lot to do in Mirtz Hashem, a lot to do. You'll look, Bosei, if you're not on the WhatsApp group, please see Saeed. Saeed just left now, but he will put you on the, or you know what? You could write down your number, or you can see Maishi Gadget to the WhatsApp group, because that's how we often, so that's good. Bosei, I just want to say, it is beautiful to have such a magnificent, robust Olam. Keep coming. You know, sometimes when we start new Masechtos, there's like that new Baba Basra smell. It's Givaldic. But you know, by the time like we get like Daf Yud Beis, it's whatever, I'm already 12 blood in, I missed three of them, I'll wait till Sanhedrin. We'll say, stick with it. And I'll tell you for one simple reason. Understand, when you're here, you give Chizuk, first of all, you give Chizuk to me. I have a reason to wake up in the morning, so thank you very much. But we give Chizuk to each other. You know, when you come and you know that you're part of an Olam like this, and also you know that you have to get here on time, because if you don't, you're not going to get your seat. It gives chizuk to everyone. So we often think that when we show up, we're showing up for ourselves, for our own Talmud Torah. I'm telling you, when you show up, you're giving chizuk and you're giving strength to the entire shir. We should be zilchem yertz Hashem to not only maintain these numbers, but to grow every single daf. We should bust out of this room. I don't know where we're going. But right? But we should bust out of this room. I don't have anywhere else to go. This is kind of the last daf, but we could add more tables. But again, just understand that when you have the, and it is Mesiras Nefesh to get up every single morning, but just know, the Mesiras Nefesh is not just, doesn't just yield peros for you, it yields peros for all of us. Yes, everyone, Meretz Shem will continue tomorrow.